and Josh ready to talk Tiger football. On and ever forward, we help our school. Students whose hearts are always, ever true. Those black and golden colors, floating on high, high. Hail to the glory of Tipton High. Go team, go team, go. Fight team, fight team, fight. Win team, win team, win. Team fight, fight, fight. Team, all we do is win, win, win.
Welcome in the third and long podcast.
All right, Clint, welcome back to week two of the football season. Was not the most ideal weekend in regards to what we were looking for to start off Labor Day weekend.
It was not. It was, except I think we lost to a very beatable Comanche team. I think there were some circumstances that came into play on that.
It was a weird night.
It was a weird night.
Yeah, I first off, we have to apologize to listeners.
And
specifically
I
me.
I know we do.
I take great pride in weather forecasting.
So do I.
I look at multiple sources. I look at the National Weather Service.
I know. So
there
do
was
I.
a chance for some pop-up storms. That was a legit thunderstorm.
Oh, it was brutal. Yeah. Like, it was coming down.
And we took some heat from it, which is, we deserve it. I mean, just like the players, when you have a bad game, we had a bad forecast.
As we were sitting there trying to ride out the storm, the number of texts we were getting from unhappy podcast fans...
I don't blame them.
It's almost expecting
beautiful weather.
It's almost like
nothing.
We should stick to, you should probably stick to nasal implants or whatever it is you sell. I should probably stick to investments, and we should leave the weatherman stuff to the weatherman.
No, I'm going to stick. I'm going to keep giving some forecasts.
We're going to keep giving
forecasts.
You got
to get back on the horse here. But, yeah, it was an odd one. Obviously, those rain storms picked up pretty quickly there, and I knew when we took off, I'm like, why is it so dark? And I looked at the radar, I'm like, whoa, that's actually going to hit us. I didn't have any rain gear or anything, so when I heard that they were going to delay the game, I was kind of excited because I'm like, okay, let that pass before we have to go and stand out on this football game for 3 hours. So
it just took a while to pass. It kind of kept training behind, and what time did we get that game started?
So I understand why they have the rule. I think it's 30 minutes after the last lightning strike hits, and that's pretty standard across any event. I do think there maybe needs to be, I don't know, some sort of a tweak to that. What is the 30 minutes? Like, you're just letting it clear? I don't get it.
I'm assuming it's player safety, I would get. But the deal is... Yeah, 30 minutes after the last strike to take the field. That's not to start the game. That's to start warm-ups.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, we didn't start that game until 8:50 at night.
I guess where I mean to tweak it, when we took the field, it was still lightning out.
Yes, it was.
But it was south of Comanche, and they said, well, the storm has passed, so we're fine. Well, that doesn't mean a lightning strike can't hit.
It's true.
So I thought there was some questions there about
we have to wait
that long, truly.
I know that obviously we wanted to get that game in. We did not want to come back on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon and try to play that football game.
Looking back, I wish we would have because I would have preferred a different game.
I agree. Obviously, made the ball hard to hang on to. It was a little slick. I think we found that out very opening kickoff.
Yep.
And I think our quarterback, Garrett Fitch, found that out with a lot of snaps, too. Yep. It was a hard ball to squeeze. It was hard to keep hold of.
Yeah. I mean, for the listeners that didn't go to the game, it was quite the start. It started at 8:45, I want to say.
Yeah, I think it was like 8:52. Because it was 8 minutes until, if it started past 9 o'clock, they weren't allowed to start the game past 9 o'clock. It started like 8 minutes before 9.
We talked about handling adversity, and I think about this because these are weird circumstances, but typically when your game's at 7, I think the boys left after school around 4 o'clock, and obviously the game didn't kick off till 8:45, so there's a period there where they're in the locker room just hanging out, not stretching. I mean, I don't know what they're
laying
doing.
Laying around in the gym, I think
there's
that's
not a
awesome.
Lot you can do, but my issue with that is, obviously, as an away team, we didn't bring a smorgasbord of food for them.
Sure.
I don't know what Comanche did for that circumstance, but the issue is, if you're not eating, you're not having your actual dinner meal until when the game got over at
11:45. These boys got home at 1 in the morning.
So weird stuff like that. It just was a weird start. Obviously, we got things kicked off. We received the kick, fumbled the opening kick, gave them the ball at the 20-yard line. I thought, what do you do in those? I looked at the sideline and I looked at the players and I looked at the coaches to see, okay, right off the bat, we're handling adversity right now.
Right. And first I didn't mind that energy level. I think
there was a sense of urgency. We got to stop them. And we did. We had them at fourth. I want to say it was fourth and eight, fourth and 11 to hold them there. That would have been a big stop.
Huge.
And we gave up a touchdown. Obviously went down 7-0. And it didn't really feel like it was kind of like no one's going to win this game 7-0. Right. In hindsight, it wasn't much more than that.
It wasn't. It turned out to be a really big score.
It was.
Which was horrible. I mean, you're 2.5 minutes into your season, not just the first game.
Yeah.
Into the season. It turned out to be a big score just because our defense after that really bucked up and played a really nice game after that.
Yeah, they were put in some tough circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, the hard part with high school football, and quite frankly, it's college and NFL, you see it's a game of momentum.
Absolutely.
And when you can't recapture that momentum, the games start to slip out. I thought we did a decent job of grabbing that momentum. Mm-hmm. We never quite capitalized. We did score the touchdown at the end of a half to Oakley Cruz in the back of the end zone. Yeah. That felt like a different game once he scored that. I was like, okay.
It did.
We're good. We missed the extra point, which then kind of puts you down 8. Yeah, we're going to have to score and get a two-point. But we had the whole second half to do that.
We did. And to that play, I was watching game film of this. That was our best play, not just because we scored a touchdown, but the line did their job. Our underneath receivers drew up the defenders. Oakley snuck in behind. Well thrown ball. That was the most well executed play we had all night as well, and the result showed it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it was. I felt like we had a little bit of momentum coming into the second half. Obviously, we had to kick off to start the second half, but just that touchdown was huge, and I knew that if we could hold them to 14, that means we just got to get another touchdown to tie it. Just never came. And
we were in that game all the way until the final minute and a half. Until
the lights went out.
Until the lights went out at 11 o'clock.
Which, I guess, let's talk about that before we get to the second half. So, obviously, the game was fairly tight. They were driving. They were down to, like, their own 5-yard line, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But all they needed is a field goal, up 8.
And they had a good field goal kicker.
They had a really good field goal kicker that at least we saw in pregame warm-ups.
Yep.
All of a sudden, we thought that's what's going to happen. Was it third down or fourth down? I can't remember what it was. I think it was fourth down.
I think it was fourth down, yeah.
Lights went off, and everyone kind of looked at their clocks like, what's going on? Well, it was 11 o'clock. They had an automatic timer. So literally the lights went out.
It was, yeah.
And, they kind of rushed over. It was behind our stands there where they're working on it, and they might have been there for 10 minutes, not really getting much progress.
Right. Finally found out that those types of lights need 15 minutes to cool down before you can even try to turn them back on again.
Yeah, so it took the whole time there to get that. Lights came back on. I guess fast forward, because there's not a lot in the second half that I really want to talk about, because there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of good defense.
Lots of great defense, that was all. Yeah.
What a crazy end there, though, because...
Right.
I just was shocked. Obviously, they went to kick the field goal, missed the field goal, wide left. It wasn't even close.
Not even close, yep.
But then we had a running into the kicker.
Yep.
Which then gives a first down. So technically, the game was pretty much in hand. Yeah. This is where, and we're going to talk about it here soon, is I don't understand the modern game of football. Like back in the 90s, back in the 1900s when you and I played, majority of the time when you're trying to run on a clock or getting short yardage, you're under center.
Yeah. Yeah,
they had a shotgun snap, first down, at the goal, literally 2.5-yard line, and the ball was snapped over his head.
Yeah, couldn't believe it.
And we had a chance to recover that, and potentially that would have been perfect for the night to recover that.
Couldn't believe it. Going back to the roughing the kicker on the first kick, that kind of gave them second life on that drive. I probably see exactly where the coaches come from on that. You're willing to take that penalty?
Absolutely.
Realistically, watching him in warm-ups, he's making that kick 95% of the time.
You gotta block it.
That's an all-out block. So I never want anybody to think that we made a bonehead play there.
No. Nope.
That was a legit play. I think we knew.
Well, you don't practice that.
We knew we were going to run into the kicker. We were just hoping we'd catch a football with our hand first before that happened. obviously, it didn't and gave them new life, but... we do that 100% of the time, and it was a good play. I love the all out. I do like Gavin Sorgenfrey off the edge there. He is fast. He can get there. He's got some length. He'll block some kicks this year doing that. There's obviously under normal
circumstances. By no means are you upset. That was a do-or-die type situation.
Absolutely.
If he gets the block, we potentially could pick it up and score. Mm-hmm. I'll take that and live with it. But obviously after that, they ended up downing it, and we didn't have timeouts, and that's the game.
We were out.
It's unfortunate because I think if you played that team 10 times, I believe 7 or 8 of those are our victories.
I said that exact just same thing. I think that's a 70% win rate for us. And we had our opportunities. We kept that game in check the entire time. That is with, again, an opening drive, give up on a fumble for a touchdown. You take that touchdown away, how different that game looks with the defenses that was played. And that's what I want to bring up is the defense that Tipton played. If we want to hang our hat on anything driving out of Comanche Friday night, we got a really nice defense.
Yep.
It's well led. It's senior heavy. You know, when you've got that second level sits Langley, Holub, and Fitch, having those guys in the second level is absolutely huge. They're game commanders out there, and they get people in the right spots, and they play with intention and authority. And so we'll kind of run through maybe some of those stats, but
yeah, I got to give some kudos. We talked about it before the game or before the last podcast about Comanche's defense.
Mm-hmm.
They credit them. They did a great job holding us down. So we're going to talk about, I guess let's start with the Tipton side on the offensive side of the ball. So Clint, let's talk about let's start with the positives on the offensive side of the ball. What would you see from that?
I would say, obviously, we had our struggles there, only scoring 7 points. But for me, when the timing was right, whether it was a running player or a passing play, when the timing was right, we played really nice offense.
Yep.
I already mentioned it on the touchdown pass to Oakley. That when that was well executed, Oakley was in the right spot and got a really nice ball from Fitch. Scored a touchdown on it. When the timing was right on the run plays to Holub, we saw Holub break a couple nice little runs here and there in his 10 carries. But it was the times when the snap was maybe fumbled or juggled around a little bit. Maybe Fitch had to go a little high to grab it or something like that. The second we got a half second off on our timing,
mesh was off and there wasn't a lot there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. From my vantage point, I thought the first quarter and a half, even almost to the very end, the whole first half, our offense was out of sync. And it just didn't feel like we established our brand of football of what we're trying to achieve, which is run the ball, have some passes sprinkled in there, mm-hmm. get it to our playmakers. It just felt like we were constantly trying to battle that. And again, it's back to this, gaining positive yards. We weren't getting in those situations where we had second and three. Or third and one. It was a lot of third and 11s, third and nines, those mm-hmm. third and longs that kind of force you to dictate what you're going to do.
Yep.
And Comanche's defense, give them credit. They're a good defensive team, and they showed it. We had some untimely. The big thing that any football game you ever watch, if you look at the turnover battle, who wins the turnover battle usually wins games. We had two really tough picks in the first half by Garrett. You know, those happen.
Absolutely.
Like you said, a wet ball, first game out. I don't know, maybe the receiver.
Trying to push the ball downfield on third and long.
Maybe forcing something when he takes off
happens.
And run. Again, those are the things we have to eliminate because those are two full possessions that you lose.
Right.
And then, was it the first half or second half that our center, David Mackey, went out?
It was second half.
Second
that
half.
Happened.
Okay.
But yeah, obviously. There hadn't been a lot of work between Abel and Garrett.
Yep.
Our center to quarterback exchange.
Well, center is such a tough position. And if you don't think it is, go out and snap a ball between your legs without looking.
Yeah.
In a 3-point stance. And then on top of that, once you get that down, once you have a defensive lineman come over and try to run through you.
Right.
And then on top of that, have wet conditions. And then add in the fact that he is a sophomore coming in.
Sure.
It's tough.
I was going to say, Cole coming in, he's, again,
kudos
they hadn't worked
together. Kudos to Abel. He battled through it.
Oh, heck yeah.
He played in the JV game or fresh-off game on Monday. Not a bad snap in the whole thing. So that's what you want to see is they get better and get through
that. That's awesome. Like you said, Abel's thrown into a tough spot, and he'll get better from it. He'll learn from that. I mean, it's only gonna go up from here. But it definitely costs us. Because you lose a hole down, goes over his head. Garrett did the right thing, jumped on the ball, didn't want to hand the ball over at that spot in the field. But you lose a down, you lose yards, and it just puts you so much further behind the chains.
So in regards to kind of the maybe the not-so-great things that happen with our offense, you know, I'll start us, I guess. For me, it's kind of establishing that run game where we can put ourselves into picking up first downs the whole way down the field. Didn't feel like we established that very well.
Right.
You know, looking at the stats, we had 23 carries for 2 yards is our total. Now, you've got to have a little asterisk next to that because you have Garrett Fitch with minus 25 yards, all those fumbles over his head, counting his negative runs.
Yep.
We still only had probably 30 yards total rushing. Sure. That's not going to win a lot of games unless, you know, you're a pass-heavy team, which we weren't.
Yep, very true.
It's unfortunate. We just never established it. And,
very true.
You know, I guess put on my old coaching stuff hat, but you got 10 yards to get. That's 3.5 yards.
Right.
You need to go 3.5 yards every play, maybe right. Moving towards that first down stick.
Right.
I've always said this, if you lay down, a 6-foot player, if you lay down, that's 2 yards.
True.
So you're almost over halfway there getting to that 3.5 yards. Like,
yes.
Go ahead and just lay forward and lay down. That's
yes.
That's your 2.5, 2 yards.
You can tush-push every play and probably get 2 yards.
While we're on that topic, you know, we did go under center. Did a tush push. Garrett Fitch is, what is he, 190,
that's
200
insane.
Pounds. He benches at 280 pounds.
Yep.
I'm not opposed to running that on first down to get us, you know, 2nd and 7.
That's a hell heck of a lot better than 2nd and 13.
Run it until they stop.
So
it,
yeah,
know?
I would agree with you. And there's times in that game
I didn't think their defensive tackles were. They were fast, but they weren't someone that was going to stop a big tush push. Like, we can't, you know, we could move that pile.
They knew what we wanted to pass. Their defensive tackles got up field too far.
Yeah.
Which is why the couple times that the Garrett or that Ethan Hall did break one out, it was usually counters because we usually let them overcommit.
Yeah.
And countered or delayed our handoff a little bit. So
yeah, so for me, it's, you know, the watchouts are we've got to establish a run game. Have to. And, you know, it's not one person's fault. This is the whole team, and I've said this for a long time. If your left tackle buries the defensive end, and your right tackle buries the defensive end, your center buries the defensive end, and your receivers are blocking, you know, to the sideline, but you have one player that lets their guy through, that's all it takes for a negative play to happen. It takes all 5 linemen, all the quarterback to have the exchange, the running back to hit the hole hard. You know, everyone's got to do their job. And
that's the beauty of football. There can be 10 successes and 1 failure, and it's an all-around failure.
Yeah, and I just think we need to all have our successes at the same time. I saw great things from everyone on offense, but it wasn't gelling at the exact same time.
I agree.
It's pretty obvious.
I'm excited to see what we do against West Liberty to switch around that offense a little bit. Obviously, we talked a little about getting Gavin Sorgenfrey the ball in space, right? He hit the ball one time outside of any kicker returns. But one time on kind of
we've got to find our
negative 3 yards,
yeah.
Right? Oakley Cruz, he's a playmaker. We got to get him the ball. You know, Max Lashman had 4 receptions for 50 yards. That was great, but he also had 2 drops that he had some space in front of him, right? So
yeah.
I think we're doing some of the right things. I was worried because what we've seen in the past is Garrett Fitch go way downfield a lot because he's got a big arm.
Yep.
He didn't try to do that. Garrett tried to stay within himself a lot, lots of 10 to 15 yard routes, getting people in the flats, stuff like that. We needed to help him out a little bit more. Let's catch the ball some. Our offensive line needs to give him a little bit of time. But Garrett knows what he needs to do as well. He needs to pinch the ball a little bit more. Like, when that ball comes back, don't have your eyes up. Have it on the ball. Secure that first so that our timing doesn't get off. Our offense is not a lost cause. We've got the playmakers on offense to make this happen. We just need to shore it up a little bit and clean it up a lot.
Yep. The one thing I'd like to see us is have a little tempo. I want to see our receivers sprint up to the line so they're ready to go. It feels like we're kind of – they're the last ones to get set and we're waiting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that ball snapped and Garrett's rolling out, I want to see them come back to the ball versus continuing kind of sit and move around space.
Sure.
Come back to the ball, so give him a target to hit.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to see him – if we're going to be successful throwing the ball, it's going to have to be Garrett rolling out a little bit, getting out in space, kind of a run-pass option. And those are where those big plays, those broken plays happen. we've got to have availability for him so that he can see him. So
I agree. Like I said, this offense has the personnel to be successful. They just need to know that, believe in that, and clean it up a little.
Yes, we already talked about it, but let's go through some of the positives on the defensive side of the ball. What did you see?
Tons of positives on defense. You know, obviously, the number three tackler in all of Class 2A right now, Jacob Langley, had a stellar football game. Yep. 12 and a half tackles, one sack. That was two half sacks. Two and a half tackles for a loss.
Was named our MVP.
It was named our week one MVP.
He should have the chain on today at school. Proud. Hopefully he's wearing that proud. It's not sitting in his locker or his truck.
I'm sure he is. But again, it wasn't just he was in on even more plays than that. He was a good field general. He did what he needed to do as a senior. He got people in the right spots. You could hear him yelling over to the sideline to get people in, and he was
some of them weren't so nice. I heard some things. They weren't the nicest things.
Again, he's a senior who wants to win, and I understand that. I thought Jacob played a really, really nice game. I actually see him continuing to hold that role, and you know, you always hate to see someone like that blitz as much as he did, but that's a passing team, and we needed him back there to disrupt, which is where the two and a half tackles for a loss come from. I think you're going to see the same.
That fourth down tackle for loss was just all him. Solo tackle, yeah. Planted the quarterback or whoever that was, off the running back, on the line.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a big one.
That was a huge one.
That set us up to potentially go down and tie that thing.
Yep. I think Langley put us in some really good spots to do some damage.
We talked about it. I mean, yeah, there were some real good positives, and I think we're going to have to lean into our defense while our offense gets their footing to start this year off.
Well, we knew it. Oakley Cruz in the back. I love him back in the safety position. He comes up. He lays hits. He doesn't let a lot of
stuff get
beyond
him. The only thing I don't
like
about him back there is he's not close to the ball.
He's not in every play like we want him to be. I know. Again, Ethan Hall played a great game. That second level, Ethan, Jacob, Garrett.
You're missing one that I want to talk about. Brody Johnson in the second half kind of took that over. I think he had back-to-back sacks.
He did have back-to-back sacks. Yep.
He was kind of coming into his own there. That was kind of when the momentum shifted our way in the second half, where you could kind of feel they were having trouble getting that ball off.
They were.
And, I'd like to see some more of that, get some pass rush.
I thought our two juniors, Jackson Timmerman and Justin Boedeker, did a pretty good job for their first official starts against a heavy passing team. They're going to get better and better. I do think they gave a little bit of cushion that they didn't need to do. Yeah. My hope is that their confidence level increases as the game experience comes on, because we're gonna walk in Friday night and see an exact replica of what we saw last Friday night. We have a quarterback who loves to pass. They passed it 30 times. West Liberty did last week, and Comanche did it 35 times. They're going to see a very similar offense. They're going to need to come to play. One shout out I have to give, is it Jax Musser?
Muser. Yes.
Had probably the hit of the game after one of the interceptions. He had a hit on the sideline that I felt like in my soul. It was his only tackle, and it was after an interception. But man, Jax, you made him.
If you impressed Clint, and you did something.
You made him think about cross country. That's all I know.
So in regards to watch out, while we're kind of on the topic there, we sit in a lot of cover three. Which basically you kind of take it a third of the field and you say, hey, nothing behind you, break on the ball, see, you basically cover three. You're able to see the quarterback. You're able to see everything in front of you to be able to break on the ball. Mm-hmm. I felt like our timing was a little slow from our D-backs on that.
It was.
And it was very evident on third downs. We gave up at least 10 third downs on just kind of, we were late
soft,
to the ball.
Soft
we were
coverage.
Late to the ball.
Yeah, it was just
and
too soft.
And I want us to see us react a little quicker. Obviously, you don't want to get beat over the top. You don't want to go for an interception and the guy catches it and you gave it up. But we need to be there for the breakup.
We kept the plays in front of us. That was the one good thing I can say. But to your point, we didn't break quick enough. Our cushions were just a little bit too much. Again, if it's a 9-yard route, You can't give them the full 10 before the play even starts. Yeah. Like I would love to see. I would love to see Jackson and Justin sometimes, and I'm sure this is on Griffin Ormsby and our coaching staff and stuff like that, but to play a jam.
Yep.
Jam some of those guys. It'd be a ton of fun. But, again, another backfield person. This is my breakout player of this week against West Liberty that I need him to show up and have a really good game. Is Gavin Sorkin-Frye.
Yep.
He's someone that he played an okay game on Friday night. I wanted more out of him. I wanted more hits out of him. I wanted him more touches on the football out of him. He's one of the best athletes we have in the field.
Yep.
I'm looking for Gavin Sorkin-Frye to get involved, get up, lay some hits from his safety position, and really be a play.
He's got plenty of opportunities. And I think the other watch out that I had, and it happens every year at this time because there's just not a lot of live tackling. But we have to do a better job of wrapping.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of guys wanting to lay their shoulder down and blow someone up.
Yeah.
And when you do that once, it feels really good and it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I can think of Jackson Timmerman, I think, had one where he hit the guy and kind of, you know, pancaked him.
Yep.
That's fine, but there was no wrap up on the play.
Sure.
I want to see you go down with the player because that tells me you're wrapping and you're driving through them versus just the initial contact. And it hurt us really bad. I think it was a third down. They did a run play. We came through unblocked.
It was stopped.
Tried to just blow them up, and we did, but they just kept running.
Yeah.
We didn't knock them down. So the only way you knock someone down, I'm actually more impressed with people that wrap and roll, basically, than the big blowout block that you're, or the big blowout tackle where you just knock someone out. That doesn't impress me.
You want to get the very best tackle of the night? Was it Jacob Langley? Got him low, round the legs, wrapped him up, lifted him up, pile drove him into the ground.
Surprising you get a flag on that.
Those are the most fun tackles, though. Yes. It's still Cooper DeJean against Derrick Henry tackle.
Absolutely.
It's how do you beat someone that's bigger than you? You get them off the ground.
If you're still standing and the guy's on the ground, that tells me you're not wrapping.
Exactly.
And so that's my push out to the defense is I should see four people on top of the defender.
I used to have a defensive coordinator that in college that would yell and say, football players are completely useless when they're not on their feet. And so if you can get a runner off of their feet, if you can lift, that's why you guys sit and do power cleans and hand cleans and stuff all summer. Yeah. It's because it's hip drive up and lift them. They can't do anything when they're in the air.
Yep. So that's my big watch out is we've got to do a better job of wrapping up. And it's system wide. We got to stop doing the try to blow people up. So, all right, enough about last week and the game. I'm ready to move on. I think the team's ready to move on. The players, coaches, families. It just was not the best game that we could have played to start off. And as I've said since the very beginning, this game meant absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything.
Guess what? We're still in the playoff hunt.
In fact, we're still in first place.
Exactly. Yes. See?
Yeah. It means nothing. There were some injuries that came out of it, which I just hate it because a meaningless game in regards to playoffs. And we talked to players. What's their goal? They want to make playoffs. All those goals are literally nothing changed.
Yep. They're still there.
We did have some injuries. We'll keep those on the down low until that comes out. But. Right. Really unfortunate, some stuff.
Absolutely. I know we're not the only school that dealt with it, but it's the hardest part about that first week, especially pointless, meaningless games outside of getting your rhythm and timing.
We're going to feel the effects of a couple of these. I think West Liberty had a very physical game on Friday against West Branch to the point where West Branch, I think, threw the ball three times. They literally ran it on them every single play.
Yes.
Until the fourth quarter.
Exactly.
They did it at a very high level.
They completed, West Branch completed one entire pass for -1 yard.
Yeah.
So the stats as far as...
Let's go through. West Branch ran it 47 times, 372 yards, 8 yards a carry, and 5 touchdowns. That is putting it to you on the ground.
And I'm going to assume that Cooper and Keaton Gates are brothers or first cousins or...
The Gates family is a legacy family.
Oh, there you go. They're the real deal. Keaton Gates running 23 times for 274 yards. The beauty of that is his longest run was 31 yards.
Yeah.
So it's not like he broke out this 95-yard run that really skewed his stats.
What's more impressive to me is they actually have a stable of running backs, and their quarterback was out. So they're one of their stud running backs that he won the 100-meter dash. He was out due to some disciplinary things over the summer, as well as their starting quarterback. So they were missing two of their guys who didn't come back. I don't know why you would sit out three quarters. I don't care what – I don't even know what discipline it is. You either sit out the whole game or you sit out a half. What? Where's a three quarters?
To your point, that's like where, that's really where injuries dumb. Come in at.
But that's just dumb. Bring a kid back in the fourth quarter because he's been out. It just – that sounds like a West Branch thing.
It doesn't make a ton of sense. And obviously we're giving you West Branch stats here because that's who played West Liberty. Yeah. And if we want to know what West Liberty is good at, where they had holes at, they obviously – this goes back to your point of what do we need to do on offense is establish the run. What did West Branch do to West Liberty? They established the run. Yep. And they won that game kind of going away.
So let's talk about Transfer University, West Liberty comments. Your starting quarterback is from Cedar Rapids Prairie. So unless they, you know, the family got a, I know they moved to West Liberty, but I think a lot of it had to do with football. So your starting quarterback is a sophomore.
There's not a lot of other reasons to move to West Liberty. So
that was fire. I didn't say that. That was Clint Hinderocker that said that.
Here's his phone number.
I don't think you moved to West Liberty proactively from Cedar Rapids Prairie.
No.
Unless you're wanting to play football. So there's some circumstances here. Whatever it is, this is the day and age we're in. Back when it happened with West Branch football years ago, we gave them a hard time. I'm going to give you a hard time.
Right.
We had a transfer in cross country, Noel Steinis. So, you know, we took some heat for that.
We did.
Take some heat when you bring in three or four different players from other schools that are transferring in, which is what's going on with West Liberty. I think it stems from their 7-on-7 program. There's some recruiting happening there, legal or illegally, whatever you want to say.
Right.
But, hey, that's what makes it great when you play these teams. Honestly, you got
to
beat them.
That's the deal. The fact of the matter is we got to take the field against them on Friday night, and we have to find a way to beat this team.
Yeah, so their sophomore quarterback, they tried to air it out, as you can see. You know, they threw it 30 times. 300 yards passing. That's very impressive. I mean, a high school game to throw 300 yards, that's legit.
Well, when we talk about that, though, too, for me, there's a small skew on that because
there
was one big play from the 4-yard line that went 96 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things. It's, yeah, they are a pass heavy team. I go back to the fact that I think in West Liberty on Friday night, we are going to see almost a carbon copy of what we saw Friday against Comanche. We're going to find a pretty good quarterback who likes to drop back, who likes to air it out. A couple runs. They're not as skewed as West Branch is. They're going to mix in runs a little bit to keep the defense honest.
Yeah, I noticed through watching tape, one of their running backs looked like they might have got knocked out of the game. I don't know if it's a concussion or something. So we'll see if they're back. Briggs Collins, junior. He had 8 carries, 36 yards. He was their leading rusher in regards to yards per carry, and he had the touchdown.
He had their only rushing touchdown.
You know, if you watch West Liberty's Twitter, it's pretty much just their weight room. They've put in some time in the weight room. Yep. Super impressive. I've got to give them kudos for that. One of the running backs and receivers is Owen Dahlfeld. He was their leading carries guy with 11 yards. Never got it going. Only had 16 yards total. 1.5 average, but was their leading receiver with 6 catches.
Right.
He's someone that he's basically their Jacob Langley. He's their leader.
Yep.
He is the weight room leader, and you know, he's a senior. So
sure.
That's someone I'm going to keep my eyes out for because I firmly believe they're trying to get him the ball more. One of their other transfers is a tight end. Didn't do a ton against West Branch, but I fully anticipate they're going to try to deploy him against us a little bit more as well.
Yeah, and again, I'll go back and say that my keys to this game are timing on offense. I like what you said. Let's not get in. Let's actually get some positive yardage on first down. But for me, that comes with timing on offense. I said it last week. I'll say it again. This is a beatable football team. I actually thought this team was going to beat West Branch. After watching what West Branch did to them without throwing the ball at all, West Branch or West Liberty knew the run was coming. They knew it and they couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that West Branch has a bad offensive line or a bad backfield. They don't. But when you know something's coming and you still can't stop it, we're the team coming in next week So what are they going to try to do? I try to get in Wes Liberty's head. Is their defensive coordinator saying, we are not going to get beat by the run again this week? We're not going to be beat by the run. Does that close in the box a little bit and give Garrett the opportunity to maybe make some passes?
There's definitely some holes on tape.
I think there's opportunity here.
There definitely is. You know, looking at their defense, I saw their player of the week was senior Perry Lehman, who had 7 tackles, and 6 of them were solo. He was their leader on defense, got their player of the week.
Perry's a stud. I followed him a little bit.
Madden Meek is another one of their transfers from City High. He had 6.5 tackles, 5 of them solo. Obviously, when they're running the ball, however many times they ran it, you're going to have a ton of tackles.
Absolutely.
Or a ton of missed tackles, too.
Exactly. That.
But, yeah, they're going to be upset with how they played. I mean, you don't give up that many yards and, you know, come in the next week at home and not feel salty. Sure. So they're out to prove something, and we're going to have to show them.
At this point, their D-backs are not tested because West Branch didn't test them. I think we will. We're probably a lot more even, 50-50 in the run pass. Defensively, I think we just need to do what we did against Comanche. You're going to see a similar opponent here, a similar run style, a similar pass game. Goes back to Gavin, I need you to come up and make some plays, make some serious hits. It's going to make people think about coming across the middle. And Justin and Jackson Timmerman on the sides. You're gonna have to come to play at this one because you will be testing on the corners as well.
Yep.
And as far as D line and our blitzing linebackers, especially Jacob Langley, if we're gonna ask you to blitz, you've got to disrupt.
Absolutely.
Because disrupting timing is the only thing that's gonna push these guys off pass lanes. And we've got the potential to do that. We've got a great defense. I saw that against Comanche. That same defense shows up against West Liberty. That will give us a chance to win. We just need the offense to show.
I noticed one of the players they have, Pierre Shield, he's a freshman in their defensive backfield. Something to watch out for. They also have a kid that you will not miss on the field. Number 70, Camden Crees. He is 6'9", I think.
Oh, jeez.
Weighs about 300 pounds. He's actually a really good basketball player, kind of an evolving basketball player, but he's only a sophomore.
My God.
So we're going to be dealing with him for another couple, 3 years. But you will not miss him. I'm not sure football right now is – he just hasn't developed that kind of mean streak.
Right.
He's young. So we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get around him. Utilize speed, I think, is going to be the key to that.
Yep.
You do not want to take him on head on. He's going to, you know, basically bulldoze you over. So.
Absolutely. Make him run. Make him move.
You're going to see them try to establish a run as well. Even though they're passing, I think they think they can run the ball against us.
No, that's
so we'll see.
Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, so before we move on, you know, West Liberty, the game is at West Liberty, so we start off the season in 2 road games.
Yep.
This one's just down the road. This is the closest game we're going to have, so it's kind of like a home game. Listen, it's on turf, so it's a little different.
Yeah, but what's the weather going to be like, Josh?
Ooh, I have not taken a peek at that. What I can tell you that drives me up the wall is they have a brand new facility.
They do.
Brand new scoreboards,
yeah.
But nowhere on the scoreboard show timeouts. Drives me nuts.
That is
how do you not purchase
that? I remember that from last year.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all. But to your point, it is close. It's a Friday evening. We're going to hope that the weather holds for us this time. Doesn't look like there's any opportunity for rain, but I've
seeing a big
before.
Sunshine, 65 degrees. That is football weather.
I see 63 at kickoff with 14 mile an hour south winds, sunshine. Okay, and if Don Cruz, if it starts raining again, I apologize. You were probably the maddest at me. So
they deserved it.
We deserved all the heat. But get out there Friday night and watch our Tigers take on West Liberty.
Speaking of Don Cruz, she's a principal there, so who's she going to be cheering for?
Oh, that's a good point.
Her own son or where she works at?
Don, you better have some tipping gear on.
I don't know. Maybe she'll have 2 different sets of gear on.
No, she won't.
All right, so not only do we have football action going on, it is jam-packed. You got junior high kicking up into full gear.
Yep.
I know cross country tonight is going to Kickers Park, which is one of the district sites. Typically,
that always been the first meet.
Yep, it's the first meet.
Now it's
also
the second.
It's also our conference meet.
Yes,
and it's probably going to be our district site. So if you don't like Kickers, sorry, but that's where you're going to be most likely.
it's a pretty good spot for spectators.
It really is. It's a wide open. It's actually a soccer field slash park. That's why they call it Kickers Park.
They got to run up that hill.
It is next to a sewer plant.
It is.
Not overly happy with that. But those of you that go to these cross-country meets, it's a spectator sport. You get to run with the team, technically. You have to hit them in different spots. So I'm going to be stretching out tonight to catch them. Should be a jam-packed meet. But, yeah, both teams, we had a meet in Anamosa. You know, I think there was some real big positives there. We're not going to name out individuals right now. But on the girls' side, I guess I will. Maya Bodecker had a career-best time.
Maya
finished
had a great
first.
Day.
She ran really well. Lucy Costello, her first meet ever.
Love Lucy.
Just tore it up. She did well.
Awesome. And I've never literally had a coach in softball way back when, like junior softball. I've never met a kid with a better attitude than Lucy Costello. So.
That's great. That's what happens when you have a principal's daughter.
Exactly.
But,
there you go.
Boys' side, a lot of young guys stepped up. Like,
great.
We'll go through them after this week, but it was super impressive for the future of our program. So
we've
got to start packing up and taking those times down a little bit, and we'll be all right. So.
And not a lot to talk about in volleyball because there's been no games.
Why has there not been any games?
I don't know. There's been no games since our last podcast. Just a little bit of news. They did kind of move up into the – remember I said watch this team. They're going to start to make some noise. They did move up to number 14. We got some votes.
Nice.
I know they don't actually go to 14, but they do kind of list the people that got votes. So we are starting to get noticed even after that first tournament. And one correction that I need to make is we beat Lisbon last week, and I thought that Lisbon had beat – Williamsburg. I was wrong. Lisbon had beat Central Elkader. So people came up to me at the football game and told me that was a very wrong thing. And I said I'd correct it. But again, these girls are fun to watch. Get out there. Where do we play? Tomorrow, tonight
West
we play
Liberty.
West Liberty.
That's always been historically a very tough
place to play because of Reuben, and they had to set a great coaching staff there forever. And then our first home game is 9/11, which is next week.
Yeah, and there's going to be some talk. I think there's a auction going on for the junior prom, so there's some cool things that we're giving away for that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk next week on that.
Yeah,
it's really exciting. I mean, I've said it couple times now, but the conference is loaded, not just
conference is loaded.
So I think right now I saw in the area direct or area teams, Mid Prairie is ranked one in Eastern Iowa.
I believe
they said they're out of all classes.
Yeah, they're that good.
They haven't lost. They're one of the few that
haven't.
And
like,
then Wilton is also in part
of
that.
Like
as well.
I said last week, that's a great thing because it doesn't
hurt us.
It doesn't hurt us for postseason. It means that we walk into the postseason having played the best in the state all year long.
Yep.
And we'll only be better for that.
Yeah, should be fun. So, yeah, if you're out and about, you've got West Liberty tonight for volleyball, and then you can swing over and check out the cross-country. Actually, the cross-country is early, so you could actually do cross-country and then hit volleyball.
You could.
So cross-country is at 4 o'clock if you're looking for something to do. If you work in Iowa City, come down by, let me think, what's the golf course there?
PV, Pleasant Valley.
Pleasant Valley, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep. It's right next to that. So
yep.
Should be fun.
Good spot.
Weather's going to be nice and cool, which, by the way, I woke up this morning, I'm like, this is football. This is football.
Darn right. I'm excited.
Love it. Clint, let's do our annual, weekly picks brought to you by Spahn and Rose. Spahn and Rose is going to have a record year, it sounds like.
I think they might.
They're pretty excited. I don't know what for, but there's something going on in town.
They're providing the lumber for my house, so they better be. I think they're doing pretty well this year.
Well, that's nice of them to be a sponsor of this.
It was really nice of them, yeah.
So I'd love to talk about last week. Tell me how that
went. So last week I started off a little – I struggled. You picked West Branch, Bellevue.
I made the right picks.
East Buck. It just took me down in the high school picks. So you're up. You went 16-5 last week. I went 13-8. You got a 3-game lead on me.
If DraftKings had high school games,
they'd be all over it,
man.
You'd be all over it.
I can retire here in a couple years. Well, let's start us off. If I wasn't going to the Tipton game, there's two games I'd be going to. One of the two games. The first one I'd be going to is Albernette against Mid Prairie.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be basically one district against the other in 2A.
Wow.
The favorites, and they battle each other. If I had to pick,
which you do.
I'm going to lean towards Mid Prairie. Okay. I think they're going to be the team to beat this year in 2A in Eastern Iowa.
Ooh, I like that. I'd have to think you're right. I actually think Alburnett didn't show what all they have. I'm going to go Alburnett again.
Which, I got to back up. Mid Prairie, their cross country team is the greatest I've ever seen in 2A.
Sure.
They have three or four girls running in the 19s, and they have another girl running in the 20s. Like, they're going to win 2A by a million.
They're going to walk away with it.
Their volleyball team is unbelievable. And now, looking at their football team, they're good. So there's something cooking down in Mid-Prairie. Good for them. But I am very curious about that because Alburnett, obviously, is our favorite in our district. I'd love to see that score, so I'll be keeping an eye on it. Our next game, Anamosa against Wallert, playing a big team up in Dubuque.
Well, I was going to say, I'm actually going to go Anamosa on this.
Okay. I will not be going Anamosa. They kind of won a cumbersome game last week. I'm going with Wallert. I just think they're going to have better numbers and more battle-tested. So
recruiting.
Yeah. The West Liberty of Dubuque.
Right.
Next game is my second game of the week. Beckman against Monticello. Typically, this would just be a standard game. There's a little added rivalry here. Monticello's starting quarterback and star player transferred to Beckman. And is now their starting quarterback. I don't think it wasn't like a happy high five leaving. So
sure.
There's going to be some folks that are going to watch that game, and there's some bragging rights to be had. So Beckman against Monticello, keep your eye on that one. Should be a fun one.
And what do you got?
I'm going with Beckman.
I had already written down Beckman for myself.
Sorry about that.
Mostly because they stole the Monticello starting stud. And so, but yeah.
I'll just say I don't think it's a big loss, but I do think Beckman's a little deeper, but it'll be a great game. So
sure.
I'm cheering for Monticello, put it that way.
Sure.
And then we look at Bellevue against Comanche. Guess what? We just played Comanche, got to see them firsthand against Bellevue, who squeaked one out against Cascade. Again, Bellevue had another passer that threw for 300 yards. We're going to be running into some passing teams this year.
Without a doubt, we are. I'm going to go Bellevue on this, just because watching the Comanche backfield secondary, I think they can be passed on.
I have a little bit of information on this. I'm going to go Bellevue as well. Okay. I think the quarterback, we roughed up their quarterback, Seeger.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know if he's playing.
No.
And that changes that whole dynamic, because I got to see the JV quarterback was not the same quarterback, put it that way.
Okay, that's good info.
Definitely going with Bellevue.
I like that.
They've got a connection. It's like a Tom Brady to Randy Moss.
It's
a bad deal. We'll talk about them later, but it's something we're going to have to keep our eyes on here in the future. But the next game, I mean, this is just loaded with action. Regina against West Branch.
Which this would be the game I would go to.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the Tipton game.
Yeah.
I'm
first here.
Yep.
Regina had their hands full against Wilden last week for the first half, and then they kind of just pulled away.
Yeah.
I definitely think Regina will win this.
I think Regina wins this by quite a bit,
yeah.
Actually. For one, they're not going to let what happened in the first half against Wilden happen again.
Yeah.
I think Regina takes this one.
All right. Our game, West Liberty against Tipton. I'll let you go first here.
You know I'm choosing Tipton on this. And it's not just a homer thing. This, like I said, I think this is a beatable team. I think we're playing what we just saw last Friday night. Clean up some mistakes, get timing better, and we can win this football game.
So I'm not as confident. I think West Liberty has had our number in the past, just like Comanche. And until we can establish an offense where we can move the ball down the field, it's going to be very difficult.
Yep.
With a team that throws the ball around against us and, you know, put 300 yards last week. Against a very capable West Branch team. We're going to have to prove we can do it. I have it more of a 50-50 toss-up, and in which that case, I will take Tipton. But they're going to have to improve if I'm going to keep picking them, because pick-ems are all – it's not about my heart. It's
not
my head.
Your heart. I don't.
So
I get it.
I'm sticking with them for another week, Tipton. East Buchanan against Wapsie Valley.
I'm going to have to go East Buck on this.
I will go just to give you some help, try to get you back in this. I'll go Wapsie Valley.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I need all the help I can get.
I have no idea why this is on here. Is there not any other closer games? Eddiesville, Blakeburg, Fremont against East Marshall. Like, what are we doing here, paper?
Oh.
What are we doing here?
That's a stretch. I don't know. But you're up first.
So no, this is you.
No, this was me. Okay, so, okay, I'm going to have to go. Just because you beat me with them last week, East Marshall.
Okay, I'm going to do East Marshall as well. I don't think Eddiesville's very good at football this year.
All right.
Next one is me. Mack Valley against North Lynn. Good game.
This is actually a good game.
Really good game. I'll go Mack Valley.
I will, just so everybody knows, I will pick Mack Valley until they lose this year. So North Lynn's really, really good football team, but Mack Valley is not another level.
Next one. This one's tough. Midland against North Cedar.
It's got to be some hate on this one, I assume.
Unless you're a parent. I don't know who's going to this game.
I'm going to go Midland on this. Yeah.
This will be the only time all year that I go with it, but I will take North Cedar for the first time, and this will be the only time. And if they lose, I will never pick them again.
Perfect.
And if you're at North Cedar and you're for some reason listening to this, come to Tipton. You know who you are.
You know who you are.
All right. Next game, Durant versus Lisbon. This is mine. I think Lisbon's down. I think Durant's got some big stud running back. They have two of them, actually. McKinley and Gast. I'm going with Durant.
All right. I was actually going to choose Durant on this one as well. Yeah, just for same reasons, really.
Moving on, Sigourney Kyoto against Wilton.
Actually, this is a good game.
You got
too.
Spinner back against a very quality Wilton team.
This, again, I like this game. This is the Sigourney Kyoto team that West Branch beat last year in the second round of the playoffs. I think Wilton's stout this year, to be honest with you. I'm going to go Wilton.
I am also going to go Wilton. I just think they have too many weapons, and their defense is going to be very strong, and they're going to be a little salty coming off of last week.
Absolutely.
Game of the week in college, and this is game of the nation, basically.
Nope.
Iowa State against Iowa. Is this the best both teams have been? I don't think this is the best Iowa's ever been.
No.
Iowa State coming off two wins, one against Kansas State, and then obviously last week.
Yeah.
You have a star quarterback in the making. They've got to be thinking, this is our time to kind of.
This is it. Yeah, this is their one. I know you're picking first. I'll let you go first.
This is. I will go Iowa State.
Right.
I said I pick with my head. When you have a quarterback that's like him, that can just command it and is not going to turn the ball over at home. The only thing that gave me a watch out on this is the road team has won every year except since 2018.
Yeah, that's
so. That's a weird
that
stat.
Is the watch out.
That never should happen in this rivalry series because the home advantage is at least 3 or 4 points mm-hmm. advantage to having it. And I just after watching Iowa last week, I don't see it.
The
quarterback looked like he was.
I've never done this in this game, but I'm also picking Iowa State.
Okay,
I just like.
This could be good for us. That means Iowa's going to win.
They've had three penalties in two games. Yeah. They're one of the cleanest teams out there right now, and they have weapons. So
yeah, I'm very excited to watch it, but it's going to be tight.
Yeah.
So. All right, this is you. Wyoming against Northern Iowa.
I got to go Wyoming on this just for the class up. I mean, this is an FCS team against a.
I'm going to do the same. Give me Wyoming.
FCS team.
All right, Illinois Wesleyan against Central College. Give me Central College on this one.
I'm going to take Central as well.
Okay, moving on quickly. Oklahoma against Michigan. Another great game. I mean, we're loaded again with slates here.
Is that me or you?
This is you.
I'm going to go Michigan on this
one. Okay, I will go Oklahoma.
Perfect.
Duke against Illinois. Give me Illinois.
Illinois all day.
Illinois is going to be the team to beat, in my opinion. If it was the old Big Ten West, I would be taking Illinois.
I'm going Illinois as well. They're solid this year.
All right, let's move into the NFL slate. Bills against Ravens.
Woo! Oh, God, that's a heck of a start right there.
If they were on opposite sides, that would be your Super Bowl right there.
You go first, don't you?
I don't even know where this is at because it doesn't say it on these sheets. That would make
probably
a big determination.
London or something. Mexico City.
I will take the Ravens. I just don't see any weakness on the Ravens. There's nothing.
All right, I'm going to go Bills.
Okay. But you put me down for Ravens, right?
Yeah. Okay. Baltimore. Sorry.
Baltimore. I saw the B. I thought. You cheated me. All right. Next game. I will be at this game on Sunday.
Okay.
Packers against the Lions. I told you my yep. niece's husband plays for the Packers now.
Yep.
He got me some tickets. I'll be coming in from the stadium.
This is at Lambeau.
It's at Lambeau.
Okay.
So I'm excited. I'll be able to give you a first-hand account.
Love it. Love that.
Abby's super excited. I got football Friday, Hawks on Saturday, and then I am going to the NFL game on Sunday.
That's
so
insane. That's a heck of a weekend right
there.
It is
going to be a good weekend. But this one's easy. Detroit Lions, you're 15-2, number one seed last year. Did get knocked out, but they didn't even have a defense, and they went 15-2. So, yeah, we're taking down the Packers. Imagine trading for Micah Parsons and him not doing anything on week one. There are going to be a lot of crying Lambeau fans. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
Well, hold on. What do you mean he's not doing anything?
He's just going to get shut down.
Oh, okay.
We're going to run it.
I knew something I didn't. He's not playing. Or something. Okay.
He might not. He has an injury.
I'm going Packers.
Good. I appreciate that. You and everyone else. The Packers are the hot team right now. Everyone's excited about them.
Everyone loves them.
You got to be able to stop the run as well. You can't just get to the quarterback.
I hate both of those teams. This is not fair for me.
All right. Rams, Texans.
Oh, God. Who knows? I'm going to go Texans on this.
Definitely Texans, although the Rams are going to be a hot pick this year in the NFC, I think, but Texans are loaded.
There you go.
Can't stand them, but
there's a reason. I agree.
And their last game of the week, Falcons, Buccaneers. How do you not pick the Vikings, Bears on Monday Night Football? How do you not do that? I got to send the paper a notice here. This is
who did you say, Falcons who?
Falcons, Buccaneers. No one cares about
Bucks.
That.
Bucks. God, yeah. Let me go Bucks.
Bucks.
Bucks, Bucks. All right.
All right. We learn anything?
Man, here's what I learned. All right. We have, watching the football game we had on Friday night, we have the personnel that sits on the field to win football games this year. We have to clean up what we're doing. And again, I don't know if this is just popping pads a little bit more in practice. I know we can't do that hardcore because we don't have the numbers to support that. But once we get timing down, I actually see an offense that can work. I see what could be a very stellar defense for the Tipton Tigers. We just have to put it all together. I think this is a team that can win some football games this year and still, like you said, hit that goal of making the playoffs.
So I'm going to stick on the football messaging of what I learned. Nowadays, the football coaches, it's all shotgun all day for the offense coaches.
Right.
And I tell you, my pet peeve, and it drives me nuts, I've talked to our Tipton coach about this. I see it at the college level. I see it at the professional level. Drives me up the wall on fourth down in inches or one or two or any time that you might want to get the snap and get short yardages. We're snapping it back 5 yards to a quarterback that may or may not catch it. And then we've got to run 5 yards back up to the line of scrimmage when we're already there.
Yep.
Drives me up the wall. This is not just Tipton. This is everywhere. Like you're seeing it. I mean, Comanche. That's a prime example right there. They're all doing it. Maybe I'm football dumb, but to me it's ridiculous to not go under center and just take away that you can still fumble a snap under center. That can happen very easily.
It's less common than a snap.
Take
over
one step and hand it off versus the snap.
I could not agree more. It's good.
That's what I learned. Maybe we'll see some differences. I don't know, but I know in college they're not changing that. They're going out of shotgun no matter what. So, anyways, yeah, we'll see you. Somehow we're at an hour. We thought this would be a half hour show.
Dang it! Sorry guys.
Yeah, sorry about that. But we will see you guys on Friday, and hopefully we'll be coming off our first victory.
Let's go!
And I think there's some good things ahead because I think Maquoketa is another winnable game after that,
without a doubt.
And then we hit district play. So
let's get it done, Tigers.
All right, go Detroit Lions.